Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. Here we are in the beautiful KHOI studios. We're around the kitchen table again on a nice Tuesday morning. My name
no
is
sunshine, though.
Oh, no.
We're not going to have sunshine for about a week.
We need the rain, Donna. We need the rain.
Okay.
My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We are the Donna Lana Kitchen. We talk about food. We talk about farming, recipes, advice, and opinions, and lots of other things, too. Outside our kitchen window today, there's lots of things going on besides the lack of sunshine. This last week, I have been assaulted, pleasantly assaulted, with the smell of plum blossoms and whatever else is blossoming. Because stepping outside your kitchen door and having your nose full of things.
It's just heavenly, isn't it?
It's just wonderful. So enjoy all those bloomy things. It was Earth Day. Last week was Earth Day. And in Ames, and there was a fine celebration called All Species, One Earth. People gathered in the Banshell Park and marched around, and what was lovely is people dressed as their favorite species.
What did you go as, Lana?
Well, I got out my old costume.
The Creeping Charlie costume?
Yes, I went as Creeping Charlie because there was a dearth of representation of the plant kingdom, and I felt that a weed had its place among the yaks and caribou and dinosaurs, and there was a...
It certainly has a place in my yard.
Yes, and there were...
Carpet of purple drowning out the grass, you know?
This must be an awfully good year for it.
It's a good Creeping Charlie season.
Well, and speaking of infestations, I noticed on my farm, birds are going nuts, and my husband, Joe, referred to the noise. What is that noise? What is that? Look up in the trees. And he said, look, it's an infestation of goldfinches.
Oh, and lucky we did. Wow.
They probably won't stay there, but they were flitting. They were chirping. They were diving all over the place. We have an infestation of goldfinches. So enjoy
folks. I think I have the cardinals have a monopoly in my neighborhood.
Oh, good. See?
Oh, lots and lots of them. But sometimes I think the cacophony should have other tones beyond the cardinals.
That's true. We should mix them up a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'll send you some
goldfinches. Send me some goldfinches.
And you can send me some more of those pretty red birds. Oh, and the full moon was last week, too. And I hope you gathered or raised a glass or something, looked out your window, and saw that pretty full moon. I think this time of year, the full moon is called the egg moon or the rabbit moon. It's or something like that. Spring rabbit. Mm. Anyway, there it is. Spring. Oh, and another small little notice. I went out to a local restaurant, and I want to mention that Pamel Grocery, which has been around for about 30 years now, believe it or not,
Out of Colorado Junction.
Colorado Junction. Has extended hours. They're open into the evening, most evenings. So the grill and the grocery are open for your convenience. And I went out for a late night gyro.
Oh, yeah, they have really good lamb and Middle Eastern sort of Mediterranean things.
This radio station is a community radio station. This show is put together by volunteers. We do this because we like it, and we get a little help from our friends.
Support comes from Wheatsfield Co-op, your full-service natural foods grocery in Ames, community-owned, community-focused since 1974, open daily, extended hours, right? 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., located downtown at 413 Northwestern, just off Main Street in Ames. Everyone can shop Wheatsfield Co-op.
Oh, and yes, we do. Oh, one more thing. Donna and I had an adventure last week.
Little road trip.
We took the Donalana Kitchen Show on the road. It really wasn't on the air on the road, but we went and talked to a wonderful group of women in Indianola. We went to the Bevington Garden Club annual April luncheon, which was held Tuesday, April 19th, in Indianola at the United Methodist Church. It was a fine group of people.
Yes, we were the
entertainment.
Yeah, we were the entertainment. The keynote presentation, as it were. And It was so fun. There were about 150 ladies there.
And the term ladies is well won there.
It was.
It was an elegant event.
Yes, everyone was dressed, and all of the tables were individually, they were rounds, and each table was decorated and set by a different member of the club different theme. And we're talking elaborate. I was trying to explain this to my son, and he severely chastised me for not taking photographs. It really was a photo op. And the Bevington Garden Club has been in existence since 1924. Mm-hmm. And one of the things on the agenda that day was the honoring of a Georgiana Morris for 70 years of membership. That's
membership.
Yeah, right. So she must be close to 95. She was adorable. I sat next to her at the luncheon. Very, very sweet lady. Had lived in that community her whole life, and her whole family lives around her. Lucky, lucky woman. And her mother was in the club before her, and her grandmother was in the Bevington Garden Club before her. So that was a shout-out to Georgiana Morris. Congratulations.
Very good. And there was a fine salad luncheon.
Oh, yes. A potluck buffet of all salads.
And it was
ran the gamut.
Very good. I am afraid I have let my audience down because I should have sampled everything and I didn't.
Oh, it would have been impossible,
Lana. It would have been.
And then we were supposed to have a performance afterwards.
Right, right. We couldn't have done everything.
No.
But I saw something. I was going to go back for it, but I didn't. And I have never, I lost my opportunity. At this salad luncheon, there was a bowl of green Jell-O with green olives in it. You know, you leave town and you go to see new things and you learn new things. And I should have.
And you learn old things too.
And I should have sampled it. I didn't.
There was also an orange gelatin with orange slices.
I had some of that. It was on my side. I missed out.
Oh, but you know what I had that I hadn't had in a Coon's age? The canned peas with mayonnaise. No, yes.
And chunks of cheese.
Yes.
A classic recipe.
I mean, there were some more modern things, but it was really fun to really eat the kind of foods from your childhood.
It was fun.
There were deviled eggs. There were trifles. There were, you know, all kinds of lettuce salads. I think there was
fruit salads.
Fruits. Oh, yes. Lots of fruit salads. The grapes in whipped cream kind of salad. Uh-huh. That kind. And then there was a tortilla salad. There, it was fun.
We did a wonderful thing.
That was wonderful. What a nice group of women.
Bevington Garden Club April luncheon. And they do that every year.
Thank you for inviting us to the Bevington Garden Club.
Well, Donna, you've been considering how we shop.
Oh, boy. Well, we're going to have a little bit of our bummer show here today.
With a special guest.
Yes. So, Lana, introduce Bronwyn, please.
Oh, all right. I have it written down someplace, but I shouldn't have to write this down. Bronwyn Betty Hansen is at Wheatsfield Co-op. She is the operations manager, she's the HR manager, and she is the beer and wine maven for that fine institution.
Oh, yes. I always consult her about beverages.
And
she never steers me wrong.
And she's also a new member of our Ames City Council. We're going to be
she's on the council at large.
Yes, we're going to be discussing how our food system produces not just food to eat, but there seems to be a lot of detritus that happens too.
Yes, it's the plastic bag. I started thinking about this more thoroughly on my last trip to California. Los Angeles now has a citywide plastic bag ban, and you really notice it. It's I'm sort of not in the plastic bag habit myself, mostly because, we try to be ethical here. But the annoying thing about plastic bags is you end up with passels of them at home if you just keep taking them, and they become a rather annoying storage issue, recycling issue. So that alone has encouraged me not to use plastic bags. But I want to read this little thing about from the Ban the Bags campaign. It says, typically when people think of plastic bag bans, They think of the marine life that plastic kills. What they don't realize is how much of oil it takes to produce those bags and the other environmental hazards they cause, in addition to threatening our own health and safety. Plastic bags block storm drains, contributing to floods. They leak toxic chemicals into our water and soil, as well as killing marine life, birds, and cows by starvation and suffocation. In 1998 in Bangladesh, plastic bags were discovered to be the main cause of the devastating floods. There were over 1,000 deaths in 1998, as well as two-thirds of the country was, you guys remember that huge flood. They banned them in India and in Mumbai, because they gum up the works of several things. And also, this article also says that in South Africa, before plastic bags were banned in 2003, they were nicknamed the national flower, as so many bags littered the roadside, stuck to fences and trees. And that year, the government passed one of the strictest bans in existence, a fine of $13,800 or a 10-year jail sentence for using plastic bags.
So welcome to the Danilana Kitchen, Bronwyn.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
And so we're going to talk about ways that a business can address some of these problems. We think about shopping, but we always end up with things to carry all our stuff in. What has Wheatsfield been doing about that issue?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, Wheatsfield has always been concerned with waste issues and the environment. And so actually, as long as I can remember at Wheatsfield, we have offered a nickel if you bring your own bag in when you come to do shopping. And so we started out with that system, did that for a number of years. At one time, we even actually charged a dime if people wanted to take a plastic bag with them. We would charge them for the bag. We went away from doing that and just discontinued having plastic bags at the registers as an option. So now we have still the nickel refund if you bring your own bags mm-hmm. in. And then we also, we have paper bags, of course, available.
Well, and in addition to the nickel refund, you also have the opportunity for the shopper to donate to a long list of local organizations. And Wheatsfield will be having a KHOI radio as the donation. You can donate your nickel next month to KHOI.
Yes, yep, exactly.
People, should you choose.
Yep. People can choose to keep the nickel, or like you said, they can choose to donate it to an organization, and we do rotate those out monthly. And it's a good program. Our co-op nickel program has raised a surprising amount of money mm-hmm. in nickel increments for some really great organizations.
Yeah, all local funding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Civic organizations and things. What are some, let's see, what are some of the other organizations you've done?
Well, let's see, we've done Food at First uh-huh. and Prairie Rivers. Boy, you name it. We've rotated through a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I couldn't name them all. But and if people are part of an organization that that thinks you might be a good beneficiary for the co-op nickel funds,
local organizations.
Yeah, exactly. Local organizations. Mm-hmm. Feel free to reach out to our marketing manager, Kim. She's always looking for ideas for worthy causes and groups that might benefit from that nickel.
So, what are you finding that most people do? How do they react when they find out they can't have a plastic bag?
We get very little kickback from that. Very little pushback. Basically, we have the paper bags as an option, and mm-hmm. people seem to be fine with that. We also, in the past few years, started offering boxes. So as a grocery store, we have an infinite supply of stock boxes, you know, that maybe cereal comes in or a case of beer comes in or something like that. And so once those are empty, we take them up to the cash registers, and people can choose to take their groceries home in those boxes. And we've found that to be as popular, if not more popular, than paper bags.
Easy to carry, and things don't get squashed.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, structurally nice, and people can use them at home, and, you know, for storage or, you know, for moving or whatever the case
is. So what would happen to those boxes if you didn't put them up front to be recycled?
Yeah, if we didn't reuse them in that way.
A box.
Then they'd get recycled with the rest of our cardboard that can't
down
be used.
And recycled, yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we do send away cardboard to be recycled, too. So it would get recycled, but I think reuse is a better.
Well, you can
reuse
a few
strategy.
Times, and then it can be recycled.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, my personal solution has been, of course, I have any number of canvas bags, which I love, and I kind of keep them in the car for major shopping. But in my purse, I always have one of those foldable, the nylon bags, because they crunch up into a little ball. You stick them in the sack. They weigh nothing. And then I always have a bag with me when I go shopping.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I think, that's a good way to make sure you always have one on you.
Yeah, because otherwise you go, oops, I forgot my bag.
Yeah.
That's it. Shopping is so much of a habit for us. It goes clear back to our hunter-gatherer instincts. I think we go in there and we kind of do things half asleep. At least that's how I usually shop for groceries. But it has taken me a long time, and I'm sure it's taking a lot of us a long time, to actually get in the store with a recyclable bag. And then again, it's making it a habit. I don't know how many times I've gone to the checkout. Oh, it's in the car. I almost brought it in. So as we go along, we're going to get better and better at this sort of thing. I just know we are.
That's a good point. I mean, it takes practice. Setting a good habit isn't going to happen overnight. You know, it takes...
Well, the other thing is I carry a ridiculously large purse. And part of the reason is I always just stuff things into it when I'm shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the problem with that, though. When I'm shopping and I put it in my purse, then they hand you the receipt. And I also stuff that in my purse. Now, Bronwyn, tell us about the problem with receipts.
Sure. Well, we have this is something we have heard a lot about recently. So receipt tape, most receipt tape is used printing in a thermal way. So it doesn't actually use ink. It uses heat to imprint the images on your receipt. And the way they do that, or the way they have traditionally done that, is by using a compound on the paper called bisphenol A, or BPA for short. And we've heard a lot about BPA in other avenues, too.
Children's toys, plastic bottles and containers.
Exactly. And in fact,
we ingest it, which is not good.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
And it can be absorbed through our skin.
Through your skin, yep. And it is, it's a compound that has had a lot of questions raised about it. The FDA has banned its use in sippy cups and baby products. But it is still used in receipt tape. And like you said, it gets in through your skin. And studies have found that you can get a lot more in your skin through handling something like a piece of receipt tape than you would through ingesting a food item, like, say, a water bottle that might have BPA in it. Mm-hmm, so it actually absorbs through your skin better. It's an endocrine disruptor, they call it. So there's a lot of concerns with that material.
Especially for children.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so the receipt tape we use at Wheatsfield now is BPA-free. It's also BPS-free, and that's another thing. You always have to be careful,
And it's so complicated. I've been reading that a lot of packaging or things that you'll say BPA-free, they've actually just substituted BPS, which is apparently not much better.
Yeah, exactly. A related compound causes some of the same issues. You do have to be careful when things say BPA-free, that they're using a suitable alternative. So the receipt tape we have now is actually a vitamin C-based compound.
Oh, good. So we can eat it, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. A lot of fiber. Fiber and vitamin C. I wouldn't recommend that to our radio listeners. But no, it's true that the receipt tape we have now is free of both of those harmful compounds. So.
And you mentioned that it was an endocrine disruptor. What does that do to us?
I do not know as well as
okay,
I should.
It disrupts your endocrine system.
Thank you.
Well, because these things are, like most pesticides, they're actually designed to, as a pesticide, for example, they're designed to make the insect incapable of reproducing properly.
Oh, for goodness sake.
So it doesn't, your endocrine system is all kinds of things that have to do with
hormones,
your growth and hormones. And so it disrupts it. That's an endocrine disruptor. And, of course, they always say, oh, it's a tiny amount. But cumulatively in the environment, we have lots of places where those turn up that we're not even thinking about them. So,
yeah. And think how much we shop. Shopping is our national pastime. And it's not just...
It's not just receipt tapes. The BPA and other endocrine disruptors are ubiquitous in the environment. Oh, yeah. Lots of other places.
You name it. Yeah, plastic bottles or even can linings, you know, food cans, can of beans, for example. That can is lined with something, and traditionally it was BPA. Mm-hmm. And so you see, yeah, like you said, you see a lot of small uses of it in many, many places.
Like for canned foods now, a lot of the major brands, well, at least the organic brands, are saying the can is not lined with BPA.
Yeah. Yep.
So that you can eat it. Or, of course, you can buy in glass.
Mm-hmm.
It's always safer.
Or, yeah, exactly. Or, you know, we kind of mentioned grocery bags as you're leaving the store. But I would like to touch on, too, the types of bags we see, like in the bulk department, for example, or produce department. Mm-hmm. Because I was going to mention, you know, if you, as an alternative to canned beans, for example, you can cut down on packaging and that BPA by buying bulk dried beans. A person could. But again, in our bulk department and produce department, we still do have single-use plastic bags in those departments. And we probably will for shopping convenience for a while yet, but I would just like to have people start to think about ways they could reduce the use of those, either by bringing in jars for bulk items, canvas bags for produce. You mentioned habits, and I see a lot of what I call funny habits with produce shopping, where people will maybe take an item like a bunch of bananas and put it into a single-use plastic produce bag. And that just baffles me. I mean, the banana has a peel. It's pretty protected anyway. And even for something that doesn't have a peel, say an apple, for example, that you're going to eat as is, you should wash that when you get home. Whether or not you put it in a plastic produce bag, it's still going to have been contaminated.
I think some people feel like they can't have their produce rolling all over the conveyor belt, so they have to put it in a plastic bag.
Yeah, I mean, really, yeah, the produce itself is going to be dirty enough that you should wash it anyway.
Wash it anyway. We're talking about habits. We're talking about shopping. This is KHOI 89.1 FM, Story City in Ames. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen, tasty radio for the heart of Iowa. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We're talking about shopping and all those things we bring home, all the things that we bring home that aren't necessarily edible.
Yeah,
all
that, the stuff that are habits that we don't really think about too much.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about the BPA in cash register receipts, most of them. So I had a little checklist here that I was reading from treehugger.com. It says, minimize receipt collection by declining receipts at gas pumps, ATMs, and other machines when possible. Store receipts separately in an envelope in a wallet or purse. Never give a child a receipt to hold on to or play with. After handling a receipt, wash your hands before preparing and eating food. You should do that anyway. But it also says, do not use alcohol-based cleaners after handling the receipts. A recent study showed that these products can increase the skin's absorption of BPA. Take advantage of store services that email or activate paperless purchases. Here's another big one. Do not recycle receipts and other thermal paper. BPA residues from receipts will contaminate recycled paper.
We're in the kitchen today with Brownwin Betty Hansen from Wheatsfield Co-op. And we go in there and we buy our food and we put things in plastic. We put the bulk items in plastic. Tell us a little bit more about those bags.
Sure. Well, the bags that we have in the bulk department and in the produce department, mm-hmm. they come on a roll, so you can kind of imagine that that style of bag. We do use bags that are made out of recycled plastic, but they're not biodegradable bags. They are plastic still. You know, there's some comfort, I suppose, in the fact that they're made out of recycled plastic.
But let's just mention that mm-hmm. biodegradable plastic. It's actually a bit of an oxymoron. When you read that something is a biodegradable plastic on the label, what it really means is that it breaks down into tiny, tiny, tiny bits so we can't see it. However, it still persists in the environment for the same amount of time as a non-biodegradable bag, which is a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like they say, there are certain studies that show that the sand on the beach has now become a certain relatively large percentage of it is plastic because, you know, the ocean turns so much plastic around and breaks it down just like it does rocks and seashells, and that the sand contains a lot of plastics now.
We are evolving, it sounds like.
Yeah, I didn't. Yes, that's evolution.
There you go.
It's de-evolution.
Yeah. Again, I would just encourage people to, when they're able, bring their own containers for bulk items or produce items.
Or don't put those lemons in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
You don't need it.
Exactly. Just let them roll around. Wash them when you get home. They won't be any worse for that. Yeah, and we have canvas, reusable fabric bags for both produce and bulk. And in fact, produce prefers to be stored in something that lets it breathe.
Uh-huh.
Those plastic bags are not good for storage in your fridge because they restrict airflow, and a lot of the fruits and vegetables we buy like to respire, I guess. Is that the word?
Respire? That's good.
I mean, you can do things even like I have a lot of towels, mm-hmm. cotton toweling that I use for rags. I don't use paper towels at all. But this is part of it's from being a culinary professional. You don't use paper towels in a professional kitchen. There'd be endless amounts of them. So you just have rags, you know, that get washed. I often will like wrap my lettuce, for example, in a slightly damp towel mm-hmm. and put it.
Exactly. Yeah, a canvas bag is, you could even wet the canvas mm-hmm, bag and mm-hmm. put lettuce
keep
in there.
Keep it a little crisper. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Very good. Oh, and I hear that many, many businesses are starting to do this, and I hear Whitfield is exploring this too, going receipt-less.
That's true. Yep, that is an option at Whitfield. So, again, the receipt tape we use is vitamin C based, but you can still save the paper itself by opting out of printed receipts. We can set that up if you're a member owner of Wheatsfield. We can make your account recognize that you've opted out of printed receipts. And we can also do e-receipts for those folks too. So you can get
emailed. Does that mean like at the end of the year you could have a e-receipt from the co-op with everything?
Good question. We haven't explored that. It's more on an individual transaction basis. So you get emailed a receipt with every purchase. Yeah, and so that can save.
Think how
paper.
I could rearrange my bookkeeping.
Good question about the annual reporting. That might be a function, but it's not one we've explored. But you can do the e-receipts on it. Yeah, every time you go in, you get emailed mm-hmm. your receipt. So
yeah, thinking about how we shop, how we bring home food. There's a lot of things. Well, just think of all the things that are packaged. Some things just plain have to be packaged. I don't think I could carry home a lot of cornflakes in my pockets. I mean, things are packaged that way. Are finally changing habits and deciding that, yes, maybe we can take back bottles. People bring back bottles to your department and you deal with them, right? What happens to those things?
Yeah, good question. So we do take back anything with a redemption value that we sell. So that's both, I suppose, glass bottles and cans of soda or things like that. So we take those back.
Do milk bottles too, glass milk bottles.
Exactly. Yeah, we have one of the brands of milk we carry comes in a glass half-gallon jug, and you can bring those back. There's a deposit on them, so you want to mm-hmm, bring those mm-hmm. back. I think $2 on those glass milk bottles.
Yeah, it's enough to make you remember to do it.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the point. I mean, that was the original point of the bottle bill that started the system of redemption for alcohol bottles, soda cans, and things like that, too. So we do take those back as well, and then the distributors will come and get them. So in the case of the milk, the people who that dairy comes and they take their empty bottles and they sanitize them.
The beer distributor comes and takes the beer bottles back?
We we send all of our redeemables back through one distributor, the main distributor we work with, United Natural Foods Incorporated. Oh. We'll take any of the bottles or cans that we've collected with a redemption value. So
oh, good for them.
I've often wondered exactly what happens when I bring them back. Now, obviously, the cans, you just don't wash those out and glue them back together. They get squashed. What about the bottles?
Glass is pretty easily recyclable. So it's one of the materials, like metal, that you could recycle almost infinitely.
Really?
But yeah, exactly. So they grind it up and I suppose then remelt it.
Well, these are minerals. It's silica.
Yep.
And the cans are aluminum. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the city of Ames actually, so we're in a unique position with the resource recovery plant and the way that it uses refuse-derived fuel. But they do recycle glass out of that waste stream because glass does not incinerate in the power plant. And they do recycle metals out of the waste stream, too. Mm-hmm. And so the glass that we recycle here in Ames citywide, that goes to a company called Ripple Glass in Missouri. And they do bottles. They make Boulevard beer bottles. So if you drink a Boulevard beer, that's the glass that could potentially have come from Ames.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a nice goes around, comes around sort of thing. It's nice to think about things happening in circles.
And Bronwyn, you said there were some high school students who were involved in this issue in Ames.
Yeah, so the BPA, BPS free receipt tape issue is one that's been taken up by a group from Ames High, the Blue STEM Institute. And they're partnering with the Ames Progressive Alliance to work on this issue and bring awareness to it. It's a project-based learning group and they're...
They get credit in school. It's a class.
Yep, exactly.
Like civics or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they're learning about science and English and civics. And so they procured some cases of BPA free receipt tape and they're offering it to businesses to do trial runs with so that a business could try out what BPA free tape might be like without buying a whole case for themselves. But again, I think the bigger piece of that too is education.
So then we'll have more and more businesses around town that might be using that.
Yeah,
but do you think the Blue STEM Institute has a list of retailers using the tape?
I'm sure they're developing that. Yeah, as they're giving,
they're
as
just they're starting
offering.
Out. Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Oh,
they're just
good.
Starting out. So.
Yeah, and I suppose there's all the kind of thing. Well, you make sure this tape goes through the machine and doesn't gum it up, and all these things have to be tweaked. But we can do this. We can change. I just looked in my purse and was pulling out things. I have a lot of suspicious-looking receipts in there. It's about time I sort of look into that
thing
myself.
Don't touch them.
Okay. I have to pull them out of my purse, Brown. And I do like to keep receipts. I like to keep track of this sort of thing. But maybe we can learn new things. We can.
What a thought. Oh, boy.
We can.
Slowly, Lana.
And three cheers for businesses like Witsfield that is actually actively saying, we don't need plastic bags. Matter of fact, I remember you mentioned that in South Africa, Donna, you mentioned that they were called flowers because they were so ubiquitous all over the trees.
The South African flower, yeah.
That's kind of depressing, but I can see how they stick around the landscape. I remember I've run across some interesting names for those flying bags that get caught on things. I've heard them called witch's bloomers. How they get caught in the trees and everything. You know, whether you like witches or not, they do look like bloomers when they're going around.
They do.
Yeah.
And isn't it interesting to know that many countries around the world that we think of as third world countries are actually much more progressive on these issues than America?
Yeah. Bangladesh and South Africa and... Yeah,
they're working on it in China.
We can do that. You mentioned where in California? There's some other cities.
There's some major cities who have done, like Los Angeles now has it. I think San Francisco had it.
Yep.
And some of the cities in Oregon, the usual progressive places.
Yep. I think it's a growing trend, looking at plastic bags. I know that the city council did investigate it in 2014, and staff brought back a report about... basically what banning plastic bags might look like or what the options would be. And council didn't take any action at that time. But at that time in the staff report, they cited, I think it was nearly 170 municipalities that had gone away from plastic bags or banned plastic bags.
Oh, yeah, it's not too radical.
And that was 2 years ago.
Yeah,
so I'm
yeah.
sure that number has ballooned since then, definitely.
Well, perhaps the city council will revisit this issue.
Well, I personally would be definitely willing to look at it again. I can't speak for the rest of council.
Well, I noticed on the goals for the city council there were some sustainability initiatives that were going to be considered. So,
yes,
maybe.
And as we drive around central Iowa and see all these things floating around, it'd be nice to do something about it. Yes.
Well, we can begin by taking personal responsibility.
Good. You are listening to KHOI. Listen to the Donna Lana Kitchen anytime at khoifm.org. You can stream, you can podcast. There's the Donna Lana Kitchen archives. If you can't get enough of this show, you can go to the khoifm.org website, find the talk section, find Donna Lana Kitchen there, and they have saved all of our shows, believe it or not, so you can listen to all kinds of things, and you can listen to this very show, which we've been talking about shopping bags and other sort of things that are in our food stream system. We've been talking with Brownlee Betty Hansen of Wheatsfield Co-op.
And the City Council.
Yes, we have. And the City Council.
Thank you for having me.
We can change our habits. Yes, we can. I like to dance. And this past weekend at the Central Iowa Barn Dance, I haven't danced this dance in a long time. And a dance was taught and called. It's a couple dance. And it's called the Gay Gordons. That is the name. I didn't make that up. It's called the Gay Gordons. And it is a Scottish couple dance. It's a sweet dance. This was the barn dance, contra dance version. We didn't dance it in costume or anything. It was kind of Americanized, but it's a fine dance. And it got me thinking, Gay Gordons, Scottish dance, got me thinking of shortbread. It's connected there. It really is, folks.
So shortbread is a Scottish thing.
Well, I think of Scottish shortbread. And Scottish shortbread, to me, is this really buttery sort of cookie bread, little cookie thing. Like you said, it's like a scone, sort of.
It can be, I guess.
Yes,
this recipe you were showing me looked more like a scone than
Right. I have a recipe book that I...
But maybe the Scots can't call it a scone because the scone is too English. And, you know,
right,
the Scots are Scottish and the English are other.
There may have be something to that.
A little rivalry. Culinary rivalry.
I don't make shortbread that often. A lot of other people make really good shortbread. But when I make shortbread, I have this recipe book called Uprisings, the Whole Grain Baker's Book, and it's an old book.
It's probably out of print now.
It probably is out of print because it was published in 1983 by a collective called the Cooperative Whole Grain Education Association. Yes. Yeah.
That sounds like a proper thing, right?
In the 1980s, and so they put together this book called Uprisings from cooperative bakeries all over the country. And this particular recipe comes from the People's Company Bakery in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
People's Company.
Yeah, I think they've kind of morphed into other things by now. But there's this recipe called Scottish shortbread, and it's very simple. They end up being little pushed down little cookie sort of things.
Yeah, scone-ish.
Scone-ish. Yes. So 1/2 pound butter, 1/4 cup honey, 1 3/4 cup whole wheat pastry flour, 7/8 cup rice flour. That's this recipe.
So the rice flour makes them lighter and fluffier.
Right.
Okay.
Right. The recipe says, sinfully buttery, melt in the mouth, very simple, very delicious. Okay. And this recipe calls for creaming the butter. What can you tell about creaming the butter?
Well, first of all, it's a temperature thing to begin with. You absolutely have to have it at that sort of very mushy, warm room temperature, you know, so it's not melted, but, and then you whip it. So it's really about putting more air into it, kind of, you know, like the way whipped cream does. I mean, not that, it won't get that fluffy, but the fats will whip up, so you could use like a balloon whisk by hand, or you could use a hand mixer, which is a whole lot easier. Or if you happen to be one of these people that keeps your stand mixer on the counter, you can put it in there, press the button, forget about it for about 5 minutes.
Yes. mix all this stuff up, make it into
it makes it fluffier.
Make this dough into 3-inch balls, and
oh right, because the recipe doesn't have any rising
it doesn't,
elements.
This
in
doesn't
it.
Rise at all, and then you pat it out into little cookie shapes. And this is important: you prick these little flat cookies with a fork because you have to let the air out. Or if you happen to be so fortunate
prick them
with a fork. Prick, prick, prick.
Oh, before you put them in the oven.
Yes, yes, before you put them in. Or if you happen to be so lucky as to have a cookie press, you can shape a design on top of them if you want to. And let's see. You cook them bake them at 350 for 10 to 20 minutes. But watch them until the tops are golden brown. And then you eat them. Now, I've made this recipe, and I know that there's lots of other recipes out there. If you have a Scottish shortbread recipe, I would love to hear from you. So other folks that are creaming the butter out there, you can email us at khoiradio@gmail.com. Attention, Donalana Kitchen. Send us your shortbread recipes. I'd like a better shortbread recipe. This one's okay, but I'm sure there's lots of good things out there. And I mentioned earlier that there was an infestation of goldfinches in my backyard. Well, this time of year, there is an infestation of Scottish dance and Scottish music in central Iowa. This is the time of year.
Oh, men and skirts. Yes.
Oh, men. I knew it.
Men and skirts.
Donna gets excited this time of year. There is a group called the Royal Scottish Country Dance Society Central Iowa Branch, and they sort of gather this time of year. I mention this because on Friday, this Friday of this week, as part of that event, they are holding a concert by the band Terpsichore. Two fine musicians.
Say that again.
Terpsichore.
Terpsichore.
I think it has something to do with a muse or something like that. The keyboardist, Liz Donaldson and Elka Baker on fiddle. That's 8 p.m. Friday, April 29th, St. Luke's Episcopal Church, corner of Forest and Beaver in Des Moines. If you want more information about the Royal Scottish Country Dance Society, which also meets in Ames almost once a week here to dance and play music, you can call 515-292-8590. Talk to Linda for more information. Well, here's a traditional tune with words by Scottish poet Robert Burns. It's called Green Grow the Rushes, Oh.
Green grow the rushes, oh. Green grow the rushes, oh. The sweetest hours that e'er I spend were spent among the lassies, oh. There's no but care on every hand. In every hour that passes, oh, it signifies the life of men and were not for the lassies, oh. Green grow the rushes, oh. Green grow the rushes, oh. The sweetest hours that e'er I spent were spent among the lassies, oh. The worldly race may riches chase, and riches still may fly them, oh. And when at last they catch them fast, their hearts can ne'er enjoy them, oh. Green grow the rushes, oh. Green grow the rushes, oh. The sweetest hours that e'er I spent were spent among the lassies, oh. Give me a quiet hour at end, my arms around my dearie, oh. And now, but senseless us is all. The wisest man the world e'er saw, he dearly loved the lassies all. Green grow the rushes, oh. Green grow the rushes, oh. The sweetest hours that e'er I spent were spent among the lassies all. Green grow the rushes, oh. Green grow the rushes, oh, the sweetest hours that e'er I spent were spent among the lassies.
That was a nice traditional tune with words by poet Robert Burns, and it was sung by Anne Percival on her CD Sweetest Hours. A fine, fine
Scottish tune.
Yeah. I ran across that musician in Minneapolis a couple weeks ago. She's also part of a great contra dance band called Wild Asparagus, and I got to dance to them, and she plays a great tune and sings a great song. Always time for music and dancing. That's what I say. There is lots of stuff coming up.
Yeah, Wild Asparagus. And what? Then in town, we are going to have our own rhubarb sessions.
Rhubarb. Hold on to your hats, folks. Things are coming. KHOI Pledge Drive is happening May 1st through May 14th, featuring special local frivolity and local voices, rhubarb concerts.
I guess it'll be all, there are 1, 2, 3, there are 8 of them. Mm-hmm. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of both the week of May 2nd and the week of May 9th. And they will be here in the studio from 7 to 8 p.m. No charge. And it says free pie.
But there it is.
I'm assuming it's rhubarb. I'm not making it, but
somebody
must be.
Rhubarb is popping up, and that's good. This is a good example of community radio. You are part of this community, so please come down and join in. Come and hear some of these fine folks. Live concerts at the studio in the evening, beginning at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, Lana and I are going to show up for a few of these.
Yeah.
I love, live music is always a treat whenever you can find it. So these are apparently all local musicians.
All local musicians. So folks you haven't heard of, have heard of, and some folks you haven't.
The Rhubarb Sessions. I love the name.
The Rhubarb Sessions. And it just so happens that probably during Pledge Week, the Dynalana Kitchen will have a few words to say about rhubarb, too. Do you think so?
Oh, yes. We always have something to say about rhubarb. Now the thing is that the concerts are going to be here in the studio, mm-hmm. but we're also going to be broadcasting them, so you can either tune in or come on down.
Good idea. Another thing that you can do live in the studio, as I said, there's much special frivolity that you can be part of at this community radio station. Sunday, May 1st and Sunday, May 8th, there's a wonderful woman that does a show called Evenings with Elizabeth, the radio program. And she's going to turn that program into Dancing with Elizabeth. So Sunday, May 1st and Sunday, May 8th from 6 to 8 p.m., you can come down to the studio, put your dancing shoes on, and swing foxtrot and waltz to to music from Elizabeth's LP collection. And she does have a collection. Come and enjoy that. That is fantastic. And also there is something called, you'll find out more about this next week, there's something called the KHOI discount card. And you might want one of those. So stay tuned to this radio station. Lots going on for the KHOI Pledge Drive. There's more stuff coming up.
Oh, yeah. All the spring things are starting to happen. Haven't you noticed there's been an uptick in your social life, Lana?
Yeah, there has.
Okay. So, one thing coming up, Saturday, April 30th, the Spring Farm Cruise. You can find out about it at farmcruise@gmail.com. It's also listed on the Farm to Folk website. So here are the participating farms. It sounds sounds like a great thing for families to go on. So first they'll be at the Berry Patch, which is a beautiful orchard out by Nevada. And you can have a hayride or a walk in the woods. And there's a picnic area, and they're very child-friendly out there. Then Two Cedars Weaving and Farm-to-Folk Guests vendors at the Berry Patch will be spinning and weaving demonstrations. You can purchase hand-woven rugs and mats, and you can learn about farm-to-folk. The next stop will be Seven Pines Farm. That is a diverse, certified organic vegetable farm, also producing pork and poultry, which probably means there'll be chickens and pigs to see. So you can get vegetable transplants there, and bedding plants are available. You can check in to see what a high tunnel production looks like. So kids and adults can learn a lot more about where our local food is coming. And the third stop on the farm cruise is the Corey Family Farm, which is it's a lovely family. It is a multi-generational farm producing quality beef, lamb, and goat meat while improving soil health. They are doing managed grazing, and they strive to involve their own children in the farming. So they will have, at the Corey Family Farm, they will have a handmade market featuring 20 artisan vendors. Then you can see their beef cattle, their sheep, their laying hens, Taco the horse, pet the rabbits, and purchase their delicious and very organic
wonderful
meat products.
So that is the farm cruise.
On Sunday. That's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. To find out more about it, go to
farmcruise@gmail.com. And there is something else going on there. Robert Karp is a person coming to lecture and talk to us. Robert Karp used to be part of this town. He was involved with Practical Farmers a long time ago. And also, he had a lot to do with restarting the downtown farmers market ages ago. Robert Karp is back. He's back. I believe he's in Wisconsin now. He's going to be doing a lecture.
Friday, April 29th at 7 p.m., Iowa State University, Agronomy Building, Room 2020. And he's speaking on spirituality and sustainable agriculture, weaving a new narrative for the earth in honor of Dick Thompson. It's a Rudolf Steiner sort of orientation, which I think is always very, very interesting and usually delightful to listen to. Also, Saturday, the next day, there will be a potluck at the Mustard Seed Community Farm with a short presentation. So you can...
For more information, go to practicalfarmers.org. So lots to do. Lots to do. Robert Karp and Farm Cruise. I was calling it the Farm Crawl. No, it's a Farm Cruise.
There is a Farm Crawl in the fall.
Yeah,
this
that's
is the
good.
Farm Cruise this Saturday.
Okay.
And then, when is the Farmer's Market going to be?
Farmer's Market, May 7th. That's here in Ames. And
okay,
look for Farmer's
we will be there.
All over. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen with special guests, Bronwyn Beatty Hansen. We've been talking about shopping. We've been talking about shortbread. We've had music by Nightingale, some French-Canadian music, and Green Girl of the Rushes, oh, sung by Anne Percival. Listen to the Donna Lana Kitchen noon and repeated Tuesday evenings at 7 on this fine community radio station. My name is Lana Nachtigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We've had excellent engineering by Ruth Morrison. Eat good food and enjoy life.